This morning, my text verse is the 22nd verse of Isaiah chapter 45. Adam read it a moment ago, where the Bible says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." I have a simple message. And again, I'll remind you, if you're looking for a deep preacher, you need to go look someplace else, because you don't have a deep preacher. You got a simple preacher that just likes to get into the Word of God and let God speak to him, and then I just tell you what God has told me. But from that one verse, I want to look at four things. I want to look at, first of all, who's talking. I want to look at, second of all, who's he talking to. I want to look at, third, what he's talking about. He has an offer that he makes in that verse. And then lastly, number four, I want to look at how we take him up on that offer. How do we get what he offers in that verse? Now, to do that, I'm going to be backwards this morning. You say, "Well, preacher, you're backwards most of the time." I know, but I'm going to be backwards this morning. I'm going to start at the back of the verse and work my way forward. And so I'm just going to answer those four questions. Number one, who is talking? It's pretty obvious. It's God. He says at the back end of the verse, "For I am God, and there is none else." He says the same thing in verse 21, the verse above that, when he says, "And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior, there is none beside me." You know, if somebody's talking, especially if they're going to make you an offer, if they want to give you something, it's important to know who it is. I mean, if they're going to make you an offer and ask you to accept that offer, and you have to decide, "Well, I'm going to take them up on that offer, or I'm going to reject it," it's very important that you know who's talking. In other words, do they know, the person that's talking, do they know what they're talking about? And number two, can they deliver on what they're offering? Early on in my secular work, I ran into a superintendent. His name was Ed Ross. And he was like E.F. Hutton. You know, you remember the commercial E.F. Hutton? When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. Well, when Mr. Ross spoke, people listened. And I learned early on when I was working for him, if he said something, he knew exactly what he was talking about. And if he said he was going to do something, he did exactly that. He was able to deliver. And again, when somebody's talking, we need to know. And they're going to make you an offer. Does he know what he's talking about, and is he able to deliver? I learned early on when I started chasing parts and try to get them into the warehouse that I needed to get to somebody that at that particular company knew what they were talking about and could deliver. And I learned pretty quick that the first person you started with usually wasn't that way. You know, I had a deck of parts, and I had a Rolodex of cards. And when they didn't ship when they were supposed to, my job was to call and get them to deliver those parts. And so I would take that card out, and they say, "Okay, call this person." So I would pick up the phone, dial the person, the phone number, and talk to the person. And I learned real quick that the people on those cards usually didn't know what they were talking about and couldn't deliver. And so I'd usually say, "Well, who do you work for? And could I have their number? Because I need to talk to somebody that knows what they're talking about and to deliver." And eventually, at every company, I'd cross out the bottom line, and sometimes the second line, and sometimes the third line, and I would put a circle and a star by somebody at that company that knew what they were talking about, and when I asked for something, they could deliver. Because that's what I wanted. I didn't want to waste my time talking to people that didn't know what they were talking about and couldn't get me what I want. I wanted to go right to the person that did. As God speaks in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22, he quickly establishes his credibility. He quickly lets us know that I know what I'm talking about and I can deliver. Because he says, "I am God." And what he was saying when he said, "I am God," what he was saying is, look around, everything you see, I created. Not only in the earth, but in the heavens. and if we could see beyond the heavens, and if we could see into the depths of the sea, and if we had microscopic vision and could see what we were made up of and what the trees and the flowers and the fruits were made up of, God would say, look at it. I made it all. I am God. There's a verse in Colossians that says that He sustains the world. In other words, He holds it all together. And the reason that this earth hasn't imploded, and the reason that it goes around and it turns around and it orbits the sun and the stars stay in their place, is because there is a God that holds it all together. And the one that's speaking in Isaiah chapter 45 verse 22 says, I'm that God. I know what I'm talking about. I can deliver. That when he says, I am God, what he's saying is, I am omnipotent. I am all powerful. There's nothing that I cannot do. When he's speaking, he says, I am God. What he's saying is, I am omniscient. I know everything. There's nothing that God doesn't know. Not in the heavens, not in the earth. We may think, well, I'm going to keep this from God. I'm not going to let God know about this. God knows everything that happens in your life. God knows everything that you think about in your mind. God knows every emotion that you feel. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's also omnipresent, which means He can be everywhere at the same time. He's down in Alabama this morning at churches that are preaching the gospel, just like He is out in California, just like He is here. He's everywhere at the same time. And when He says, I am God, and there is none else beside me, that's what He's saying. I know what I'm talking about. I can deliver. I'm all powerful. I'm all-knowing. I'm everywhere. There's a lot of other things that people worship as gods. They call gods. But when God says, there is none else, what He's saying is, yeah, I know that people worship things, and I know they fall down and bow to them, but I want you to know I am a God, and there is not another one like me. The psalmist says in Psalm 115, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath has planned. He hath done whatsoever He hath planned. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. And then the psalmist says over in Psalm 77, who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. I don't know about you, but I don't want a God that's a work of men's hands. I don't know about you, but I don't want a God that can't speak. I don't want a God that can't see. I don't want a God that can't hear or smell. I don't want a God that can't handle or can't walk. I want a God that doest wonders. I want a God that does things that men say can't be done. I'm glad that we have a God. When man says, oh no, it can't be done, it's impossible, He says, I can do the impossible. I can do what you think cannot be done. That's the God that's talking in Isaiah 45 verse 22. I am God, and there is none else. Number two, who's He talking to? Well, it's pretty obvious as well. Not only is it obvious who's talking, I am God, there is none else. It's obvious who He's talking to because it says, all the ends of the earth. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. You know what that phrase means, all the ends of the earth? It means every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. It doesn't matter what your color is. It doesn't matter which language you speak. I won't tell that story. Doesn't matter what language, Brother Leonard, you know what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter what language you speak. God, that God, is talking to you when He says, all the ends of the earth. Doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter what your diet is. Doesn't matter what kind of clothes you wear. The God in Isaiah chapter 45 verse 22 is talking to all the ends of the earth. He's talking to you. It doesn't matter who your grandpa and grandma or mom and dad is. Doesn't matter who you have for aunts and uncles. It doesn't matter who your children are. The God in Isaiah chapter 45 verse 22 is talking to all the ends of the earth. He's talking to you. Doesn't matter that you're alone. It doesn't matter how you've lived your life. It doesn't matter what circumstances surround or that make up your life right now. It does not matter. When the God says, I'm God and there is none else, and I'm speaking to all the ends of the earth, what he means is he's talking to everybody. That's why the Bible uses the word whosoever, everyone, all. He's talking to everybody and he's talking to you. Stop and think about it. You'd be excited if the President of the United States called you up and told you something. Some of you would be excited if Jim Leyland, the manager of the Detroit Tigers, called you up and wanted to tell you something. Some of you would even be excited, and I don't understand why, if Oprah called you up and wanted to talk to you about something. I don't understand why you'd be excited, but some of you would be excited. Well, this morning, I'm excited. Because the creator and the sustainer of the universe is talking to me, and he's talking to you. I'm excited because the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God is talking to me and is talking to you. I'm going to listen because I know he knows what he's talking about, and he is able to deliver what he offers. All right, what does he offer? Number three. Again, the answer is obvious. It says, look unto me and be ye saved. What he's offering this morning is salvation. That's what he's offering. Salvation. Be ye saved. Say, preacher, I don't understand. What do I need to be saved from? When he says, be ye saved, I don't understand what he's talking about. Can you help me understand? Oh, I'm glad you ask. Because yes, I can. I can help you understand. Let me help you. You see, God made every one of us to fellowship with him. To be with him. Sin breaks up that fellowship. Sin breaks up. Could you take her out to the nursery for me? Sin breaks up that fellowship. We have a holy, righteous God who cannot fellowship with sin. You say, what's sin? Well, again, let me help you understand. What's sin? Sin is disobedience to God. Sin is doing something that God said not to do, or it's not doing something that God said to do. A couple weeks ago, I gave you a couple examples, and we're studying the Ten Commandments in our Sunday school class, and so I can give you some more examples. Let me just give you a couple examples of sin. Let's say that somebody bought the preacher a 10-pack of Butterfingers. And the preacher left them on his desk. And the next time the preacher came back, there was only 9. Which commandment is that breaking? Thou shalt not steal. And I hate to tell you this morning, there is a thief among us. Now, I have my suspicions that it could be the assistant pastor or his wife, but I will mention no names. That's a sin. Somebody took something that did not belong to them, and God says, thou shalt not steal. Let me give you another example. And you know what? I got to tell you, I just love teaching the little kids in Sunday school because I find out all sorts of things. And again, I'm not going to mention any names to protect the guilty. But let's say you're in a car and you're in a hurry to get somewhere. And so you have the pedal to the metal, and you're just barreling down the road, and one of our fine law enforcement officers notices this slight indiscretion and pulls you over to the side of the road. And the first question he asks you is, do you know how fast you were going? And what do you say? Oh, no, sir. Was I speeding? Now, what commandment did that break? Thou shalt not lie. Now, I could go on, and I could probably get to one of your sins, but just grant me for sake of time that every single person in here has at one time broken one of the Ten Commandments. One of those commandments is honor thy father and thy mother. And as I pointed out a couple weeks ago, one of the ways we honor our parents is to obey. And if we disobey our mom and our dad, that's broken one of the Ten Commandments. That means that we have sinned. And as I've told you so many times before, it only takes one sin to make a person a sinner. In James chapter 2, the Bible says, if we offend the law in one point, we are guilty of all. And so if my only sin is to tell a lie, I'm just as guilty as if I broke in God's sight all the Ten Commandments. If I've disobeyed my mom and dad because I've been disobedient, in God's sight, I'm just as guilty as one that breaks all of the Ten Commandments. And so, as I was kidding around about there is a thief among us, there is a liar among us, I'll just tell you, every single one of us are sinners. That's why the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're sinners. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, spiritual death, being separated from God. When Isaiah chapter 45 verse 22 is talking about being saved, it's talking about being saved from the penalty and punishment of sin. I commit a sin. That makes me a sinner. The wages of my sin is to be separated from God. Separated from God now. Separated from God forever. And the omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful God of Isaiah chapter 45 verse 22 says, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. I can deliver, and I'm speaking to every single person. I can save you from that penalty. I can offer you salvation from that punishment of sin. I can make it so that you're not separated from God. That's what he offers. Salvation. Number four, how do we get it? How do we get it? Again, he makes it very obvious when he says, look unto me and be ye saved. Look unto me and be ye saved. It doesn't say, look to your good works. It doesn't say, look to the church. I think the church is a wonderful thing, but I'll be the first to tell you, this church cannot save you. You can put your name on the roll of this church, you can become an active member, but if you don't look to Jesus Christ, you will die and go to hell. We're going to baptize some young men this morning, and it's a wonderful thing to be baptized, but don't look to baptism because baptism will not get you to heaven. We take the Lord's Supper the first Sunday of every month like we did last week. And we hold that little piece of bread that represents the body broken for us. We hold that little glass of juice that represents the blood that was shed for us. But communion and the Lord's Supper does no more to save you than your good works, than baptism or church membership. Don't look to any of those things. Don't look to your heritage. Don't look to mom and dad or grandpa and grandma and say, well, they were good Christian people. I must be okay because they bore me. No, no, no. Here's what God says. He says, look unto me. Look unto me. I'm reminded of that story that's told in Numbers chapter 21. Moses was leading the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, to the promised land. And they began to complain because things were hard. They only had manna to eat. They only had water to drink. The way was hot and they got tired. And they began to complain. And by the way, it's not part of my message this morning, but I'll just point out to you, complaining's a sin. Complaining's a sin. God wants us to be content. The Apostle Paul says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. God will give you everything you need. We need to learn to be content. But the people of God were not content. They began to complain, and God says, I'm going to send punishment on them. And the Bible says he sent fiery serpents, snakes, And they begin to bite the people. And the Bible says, whoever they bit died. Died. The people went running to Moses. And Moses, we've sinned. We shouldn't have complained. We shouldn't have said things about you and about God that we said. You got to help us. And Moses went running to God and said, God, what should I do? And God came to Moses and said this, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Shall live. The next verse says, and Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Here's what happened. They complained. God sent these snakes to bite everybody. As the snakes bit people, they began to die. They went running to Moses. Moses went to God. God said, hey, make a snake, put it on a pole, lift it up, and tell everybody that's been bitten by a snake, if they want to live, look on this serpent. That's all they have to do is look on the serpent. And the Bible says everybody that did lived. In John chapter 3, we read the story of a man that came to Jesus asking how to be saved. His name was Nicodemus. And in that conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus, he referred back to that story in Numbers when he says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what God of Isaiah 45, verse 22, is saying to us this morning. He's a God that knows what he's talking about. He's a God that can deliver. And he's speaking to all the ends of the earth, which includes every single person that's sitting in this room this morning. Listen, he's talking to you. And he says, you need to be saved because you're a sinner. And sin has a price. And that price is to be separated from me now and forever. But if you look to Jesus, the one uplifted on the cross, the one who bore all our sin as he died on Calvary's cross. If you look to him, I will save you from your sin. That's all you got to do is look. That's all you got to do. I know a lot of people say, well, I can't get saved because I can't give up the things that I would have to give up if I get saved. I'll tell you what, I've read this Bible a lot. I have never run across one verse that says in order to get saved, you got to give up something. In fact, what I read in this Bible over and over again, it says, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And if you're here today and you've never looked to Jesus, if you've never directed your eyes and your faith and your trust to him, this morning I say with the prophet, look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Would you do that this morning? Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, this morning, he'll save you. He'll save you if you'll look, if you'll believe, if you'll come. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. Thank you that you're not prejudiced.